Well, it's almost 13 minutes past 9 and welcome to CNA 938's Night Live with me, Hui. Sounding just a tad different from Eugene Loh, who is resting at home tonight. And this hour, in Singapore Story, you know, let's listen in to the unfolding of Dr. Kevin Chua's journey as he shares with us his professional, personal, community commitments and how they all add up to a very fulfilling one. So, you know, so good to have you with us, Dr. Kevin Chua.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, before we start, I'm just curious, you know, when you were in medical school in Ireland, did it ever occur to you that aesthetics and tattoo removal was going to be part of your medical practice?
No, to be fair, no. I started out wanting to do medicine primarily because I had a lot of influence from my parents. So they're both doctors. In fact, my entire family are all doctors. I went to Ireland because I was fortunate enough to be given an opportunity. And everybody will tell you the reason why they want to become a doctor is because they want to help people. That's actually very cliche, but it's very much true for what I wanted as well. I spent nearly 8 years there, and that's also where I met my wife. And no, I didn't see myself doing any of the stuff that I'm doing now.
No. So when you came back, you practiced as a general practitioner?
That's right. So I came back. I worked 2 years in Ireland in hospitals, and I came back and I worked in the hospitals, and I worked for a medical group here for a few years. And then I started up my clinic roughly about 11 years ago now. And over the course of the years, I did introduce the aesthetic services, especially laser tattoo removal services.
What were their particular interest in this area?
That's interesting. Actually, I like gadgets. I like machines, and I liked how the lasers worked. And one of the things that I realized very early on was that very few people wanted to do tattoo removals. So I picked up on that, and I realized that actually I got pretty decent results in all my cases, and then I just carried on and worked at it.
Why is it that people don't want to do that? Is it like a very tough thing to do?
Okay, they don't teach you how to remove a tattoo in medical school. That's not part of it. They don't even teach you how to operate a laser, for that matter, as part of your medical training. A lot of the stuff we learn and get good at over the years out in the field. And it's by practice, basically, and a lot of patience and perseverance. And tattoo removal in particular actually is something that you need a lot of patience with.
Right. You know, talking about tattoos, right? Yes. Why do people actually put tattoos for various reasons?
Well, we got your religious reasons. The most common ones are the ex-partners, you know, change in religion, significant dates, significant names. People just sometimes want a clean slate and get rid of their past. Sometimes they put on a tattoo for one reason, and then over the years they lose that reason has lost its meaning, and so they want to refresh or restart.
Also, that's where the demand comes in this particular practice. Okay, and you know, from medical perspective, you worked as a doctor, but what made you want to volunteer?
Well, I still, when I started out in medicine, I wanted to impact lives. Tattoo removal is one of the things that continues to impact lives. And it ties in very well with my beliefs and the whole initial reason why I started out in medicine in the first place. It changes lives in a big way as well.
And you know, with your training overseas, did that shape your life views and goals, or was it more family influence, or you know, your overseas stint? Did that have anything to do with this?
Well, family influence would be more because I met my wife there, I suppose. growing up, I mean, working there for a couple of years, especially in the cancer hospital, I had a child, you know, vast kind of different types of experiences over there. But tattoo removals and how it led into it didn't really start in Ireland. It pretty much started all in Singapore.
And did you have did you do any kind of volunteer work when you were overseas?
I was with the overseas with the Christian Fellowship in the college over there, and we kind of had exchange programs. I had one experience over there in terms of going over to a different country. But apart from that, most of the volunteer work pretty much started back home in Singapore.
Okay. When we come back after the break, we'll find out, what Dr. Kevin Chua does in terms of his volunteer work.
PSLE papers?
And looking at the road situation right now. There is an accident that has occurred on AYE towards Tuas at Alexandra Road entrance, and also an accident on Boon Lay Way, Jurong East Street 11 Junction. And do take note of the broken down vehicle on PIE towards Tuas after Thompson Road exit. Avoid Lane 3, and hopefully elsewhere in other parts of Singapore, let's hope that the traffic is smooth going and that you're having a safe and pleasant ride. And welcome back to Night Live with me, Hui, and also Dr. Kevin Chua. Now, we were talking about your volunteer work in Singapore. What is involved with your work at the Singapore Boys' Home?
So, I'll give you a bit of backstory. About, I think, 2 years, three years ago, actually, one of my cell group mates used to work at the Singapore Boys' Home. We got to talking. I wanted to use some of the experience that I had gleaned in the course of my work to help some of those in the boys' home. I asked about prison services, but there was already an ongoing program there. And since he worked with the boys' home, he actually mentioned to me that it took a lot of manpower, took a lot of time, and it was one of the biggest consumers of time, as in like each boy when they wanted to remove a tattoo would take up between 4 to 6 hours to remove one tattoo. So I asked him, and after discussing, I think we worked at it. He did all the background work and got the laser into the Singapore Boys' Home. We managed to start the pilot program over there. So what happened then was that that 4 hours to 6 hours per boy, I would go there once a month and treat anywhere between 7 to 16 boys in one go, or 17 boys in one go, and saves a lot of time.
Mm. And what's the significance of, why is it a taboo in that sense?
Tattoos are still pretty much frowned upon in our present culture. You get a little bit more acceptance in the younger generation now, but a lot of the times people still frown upon tattoos, especially if you're in the service industry. I've had patients come up to me and say, I want to remove a tattoo on the visible parts of my body, because when you go to work, they get prejudiced. They get complained against, even though they're one of the better employees in the, as long as they're in the service industry and people see it, they get complained against for no reason apart from the fact that they have a tattoo.
How about corporate world?
Corporate world as well. I believe that it does affect some people in terms of wanting to get a job. As long as you have a visible tattoo, it does impact on whether you get the job or not.
Mm-hmm. Because, for me, I have, youth, my kids are growing into that age, and they mm-hmm. sometimes they will ask me, what if I get one and things like that. So
I've been asked that question and a lot. What if I get one? And then from my wife's friends as well. And I say, yeah, hang on a sec. I'll show you a picture of the process you have to endure to get rid of it. It turns them off very quickly.
Okay. And in the case of a Singapore Boys Home, removal of tattoos among youths have quite a social significance. How does that tattoo removal impact the quality of life for them?
Well, for them, it's twofold. One, some of them are looking at it from the standpoint of when they come out of the Singapore Boys Home, they want to be employable. So they get rid of the tattoo so that it's easier for them to find a job. That's part of it. The other part, you see a change in their attitudes because they are doing something that their family is also very much supportive of. And very often the entire process of a tattoo removal is representative of trying to forget their past for the whole reason why they're in the first place, and also because they want to get back together in better relationship with their parents and with their family.
And what triggered them to actually do their tattoos in the first place?
A lot of the times, the reasons that I come across are peer pressure, spur of the moment. A lot of these children come from very dysfunctional families. So their only family are the gang members or the fellow members. And when one person does it, they all go ahead and just line up and do the same thing.
And what kinds of things do they do to their body? Is it entire body or just certain parts of the body?
Various places. Sometimes they put in the tattoos themselves on parts that they can reach. The legs, the hands.
They do it themselves?
They do it on themselves, yes. Sometimes they get friends to do it on them. And sometimes, because some of these boys look very mature, they go to a shop and then they get it done. And
is there an age limit to it?
In Singapore, it's not regulated. So the short answer is not really. Yeah, not really. But, the universal age of consent is 18. And those who ask, they get turned away. Those who don't ask, they get their tattoos done.
So what problems, do some of them face if they do it themselves, you know?
Well, they get very ugly tattoos to begin with.
The design
is very, not the best. They may not look after the tattoo well. And you have to remember that you are causing injury to the skin. So they may be prone to more infections. So you get a complication. And then when they don't like it, they try to remove it themselves. And they use various means like cigarettes. They try to use caustic soaps to try and burn it out, rub it out. Some people have used irons. So they end up with scars.
Right. It's really interesting. But some people, like nowadays, I see a lot of people in the fitness industries, or different types of industries,
yes.
They tend to endorse, tattoos. Like, okay, for example, you're an artist.
Yes.
It's fashionable.
There are celebrities out there who spot tattoos. So they become like
a trendsetter.
Trendsetters. And people look at them and they go, oh, that looks cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So very often the kinds of tattoos I remove as well looked cool at the time when I got it. They don't look so cool many years later.
Yeah, one of my colleagues, Mel, yes, was wanting to ask you this,
yes,
question, right? If you put it on the face, will it be more difficult to remove?
Certain areas are easier to remove. The face generally is a mix. Depends on the person putting in a tattoo. Certain areas on the face are easier, like the cheeks are easier to remove than as opposed to the...
Without scarring or...?
With the lowest chance of scarring, as opposed to, like, say, the forehead, which is one of the more difficult places to remove. So it all depends on the location of the tattoo.
Right.
And it also depends on how enthusiastic the person inking it was.
In what sense? Like the intensity or the level of...
The more pressure they apply on the tattoo, the more ink goes into the skin, and then we are dealing with a much harder to remove tattoo.
But why is there a difference, though, in terms of the pressure? Is just subjective, or...?
The difference in pressure, if you use an instrument, then it depends on the user of the instrument. Right?
And also the artistic creation, I suppose.
There is a lot of skill involved with doing a good tattoo. There's a lot of skill.
Right. After the news at 9:30, mm-hmm, we want to find out more, mm-hmm, about your experience with these boys at the Singapore Boys Home.
Yeah.
Share with us some of their stories, what impact it has on you as well.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 41 minutes past 9 o'clock, and welcome back to Singapore Story with Dr. Kevin Chua. I'm Hui Wong. So far, we've learned about the significance of tattoos, why some choose to have them and remove them. You know, at the Singapore Boys Home, where Dr. Kevin Chua volunteers, he sees lives being transformed as a result of tattoo removal. So what changes have you seen in the boys?
Well, I see some of these kids once a month, and some of them I've followed maybe about 7 to 8 months, or and some even longer now. I think to me, some of their demeanors have definitely softened. They're less rough, as shall I say, less macho. Some of them, so I think, you know, sometimes the first time they come in, they're like full of machismo. They puffed up chest, but I think sometimes I do see like a softening of their stance. And granted, they're in not a very easy place to live in, and there are a lot of people, disciplinarians around them. You know, they do seem a little bit happier in some instances.
Right. Were there any outstanding cases that stood out for you that made an impact?
Well, yes. I think I remember one boy in particular. He had like tattoos on his neck and a large part on his body. And then during the course of treating him, he seemed to get improve. And also normally sometimes as we treat them, we ask them how are you doing, how is the family taking it, and the general feedback is that the family members are actually quite happy about their progress and what they're doing.
So you mentioned about, you know, their demeanor being changed after the tattoo removal. So in fact, there's quite a lot of psychology that, you know, that goes behind it.
There is. So I try and tease out the reasons for them getting the tattoos in the first place. So I managed to identify a few marks that put them in various groups or gangs. Some other tattoos, they just got it and they had no reason apart from the fact that their friends also had it. And so they just want to get rid of it. It's hard to... There's no one big thing that you can just point. This is more subtle changes that I come across. It's interesting to experience the whole process, especially since I've been there for like quite a while now.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you interact with the boys, you know, how does that affect your own parenting style?
So I have two kids, yeah, both teenagers, and one of them, in fact, my eldest, is taking his O levels now. I have learned over the course of treating the boys in the boys' home that to appreciate my children more. So I make it a point to tell them that I love them. And if they're listening tonight, I love you, children. they actually make me appreciate the fact that they are precious gifts. Like when I see these boys having, you know, unable to leave the place that they're in, and then I get to go home and enjoy my children's company. Even so, sometimes if they don't want to spend the time with me, but I'm just happy that they're there.
Mm-hmm. You know, where I'm coming from, you know, usually our kids, they grow up in very sheltered in environment.
Yes.
You know, would you share some of, you know, what you've seen in those boys with your kids?
Yeah, the stories that I get generally, like I mentioned earlier, they come from very dysfunctional families. And a lot of the time, the boys are victims of circumstance. Either their one parent or both parents are incarcerated themselves or are deceased. And then they have had to fend for themselves, and sometimes they just basically meet the wrong person and then they get led astray. And then they go off on their path. And I have come across boys where they have done well after they've had their experience inside the boys' home. Now, not many boys are willing to share that story, though. So a lot of these boys keep it very private and
How long does it take for them to open up to you?
Well, it takes sometimes they're very talkative, so they'll open up and they'll talk and then they don't mind sharing. Others, oftentimes, more often than not, they won't. They are not willing to share so much apart from the fact that, hey, I'm here to have my tattoo removed. Let's get it done. Let's move on.
As a technical,
very technical
procedure.
Yes. Very, very routine, very dry. They would just come in and say, okay, here, and then they'll say thank you, but they're very polite about it and then leave.
Mm-hmm. And personally, when you see them going through, you know, how does that affect you? I mean, did you have any, at one point in time in your growing up years, you felt like a rebellious kid, you know, where you saw a bit of that and you empathized with them?
My mother will probably tell you I still have a rebellious streak somewhere, and I give her a lot of heartache from time to time and headaches. So I don't think we ever completely grow out of it, right? No, but I had a rebellious streak earlier on. I got over it very quickly. What these boys go through, actually, their circumstance and my growing up years are very different. Yeah, it's a bit hard to compare, unfortunately. Yeah.
True. Sometimes when we look at them, we if we put ourselves in that situation, we may do even worse than them, right?
Like I said, the reason why they're there is a lot of the times they're there because they didn't have the family support, because they didn't have the love growing up. Sometimes they were perhaps they were themselves going through some form of abuse or other, or chucked from house to house, or kicked out or something. They ended up, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong and right in life themselves, and then unfortunately just choose the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. And how has your volunteer experience affect you as a father, a husband, a medical doctor?
As a doctor, I continue to impact lives, which gives me a great sense of satisfaction. I get a lot of gratification from that. When you remove a tattoo, it's permanent, right? And then you see the change in the way they look at their skin and the way they deal with it. Maybe not in the boys' home. I see it more often in my own practice. And then sometimes when they change, as father, I see my kids and I, you know, want to protect them as much as possible. I want to provide for them as well as I can, so that they don't have to experience what some of these boys that I've come across have gone through.
Do you ever share their stories with them?
I do. Yes. I do share, and they do ask me sometimes. And if they ever want to get a tattoo, I have pictures ready on my phone to show them the process that's involved. And they do also appreciate that, the process is not pleasant to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we come back after the break, we'll talk more with Dr. Kevin Chua. And on the roads right now, the latest update from Traffic Watch: a stalled vehicle on ECP towards Changi Airport after Bayshore, and also men at work on Hougang Avenue 3 towards Lorong Ah Soo after Defu Avenue 1. Avoid the left lane. And more roadworks on North Bridge Road towards Parliament Place after Coleman Street. Avoid the right lane. Roadworks on Hougang Avenue 3 towards Hougang after Airport Road. And roadworks on Scotts Road as well towards Stevens Road after Stevens Road. Avoid the right lane. This is Singapore Story with Dr. Kevin Chua, who has expanded or went on from his medical practice to also reach out to the community in Singapore, especially to the boys in the Singapore Boys' Home. What would you say to young people entering the medical profession?
Wow. Stick with the reason why you want to become a doctor in the first place. Don't get too distracted by the world around you, And don't make money your primary reason why you want to be a doctor. You're there to learn a skill set to be able to help others and to potentially save lives as well, depending on what you do. Know that everything that you do as a doctor will impact, and every decision that you make will impact that person that you are treating or attempting to treat. So do it well, but do it carefully as well. Think beyond yourself.
Mm-hmm. And do you encourage your kids to to follow your footsteps.
My kids would be happy if they chose to the medical profession, but they need to find their own path and then figure something out. And if it suits them, then yes, but it's their choice.
Mm-hmm. And just in case, you know, some of the boys whom you have the privilege to serve at the boys' home, they're listening in, what would you want to say to them?
Well, they're there for a short period of time. They will eventually all get out. It's not too late to change things around, of course, and then continue to study hard. I think that's what will get you places. Put in the effort to learn a good skill and then put that skill to practice. But whatever you've done in the past, it's in the past, exactly in the past. And when you come out of there, it's a fresh start, just like everybody else.
And there's rehab program in there for them?
There are skills training programs in there. They are ongoing. They look after the boys well. They also give teach them over there. So for the boys who are able to, they will carry on and either take up a vocational skill or even do their O-levels.
Yeah. So, you know, for these boys who are already in the boys' home,
yes,
they're not very expressive, and some of them, they will keep their emotions. So they do have all this emotional support and counsellors there?
They do have counsellors there, and the counsellors are there to both guides, confidants and friends. But it's a rough environment inside. It can be a very rough environment. So they are kept apart as well in there. So in certain blocks, basically. So the environment is can be very difficult, very challenging. But the whole point of the Singapore Boys Home is to rehabilitate them so that when they come out, they'll be able to reintegrate back into society.
Has anyone ever come to you and say, oh, you know, because of what you've told them, that it has sort of changed their perspective of things?
No, I think the entire experience inside the boys' home, be it whether from the tattoo removal or through the counselling and guidance of the people that work with these boys, it's all a cumulative effort to change their outlook on life and what they experience.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's the best part of giving of yourself to your loved ones and to society?
I get a great sense of satisfaction. It's very, very gratifying. I'll say that word all night. It's very, very gratifying. And it makes me feel very happy about being able to give something back.
Right. You know, you are so busy. You have your practice. You have your family. You know, all this commitment. What does your wife have to say about it?
So my wife comes from a very, very generous family. And she grew up with a father figure who was always giving of his finances and his time. So she is on the same page as well. So where we can, we'll give.
There's so much love within your family that, you know, you feel overflowing and you want to...
it's more than that. It's a sense of because of what we have been given, and it's just reciprocating back to society. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about your wife. She's also a doctor.
Yes, my wife is a doctor as well. We met in medical school, and she sat on various charity boards before. So she's
in Singapore.
In Singapore, yes, yes.
So examples, like what does she do?
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think the bone marrow donor program was one of them at one stage, and I can't remember the names of the others, but she was part of the she is still part of the Association of Women Doctors in Singapore. And they run various programs, both as charity events and also education drives.
Right. And both of you have this vision and goal to actually...
I think it kind of fell about to us. It's both... we didn't actually actively seek it out per se for all these groups. And sometimes because of the friends that we know, then they ask, hey, can you help? Then we'll just say, yes, sure. Where if we can, we will offer our time.
Right. So what, family first?
Family first. I think my wife had to take time out to go through the PSLEs with my daughter, as does every parent. Yeah, it's a parent's exam.
And then, okay, so family first,
family
work.
First, yes, work.
And
work,
community.
And then the community, yes. So I think they sometimes blend into one.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Kevin Chua, for sharing your, you know, purposeful, enchanting Singapore story with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.